Before we go back to the phones, we want to let everybody, especially those of you who didn't get to go to the game today, hear what it sounded like when the manager of the A's, Mark Kotze, took the microphone on the field after the final out.
To share with all you how privileged and honored I feel today to stand on this field. It hit me last night. I know it's been hitting us, all of us, at different times. For me, it was after the game last night. I walked into this stadium. My amazing wife dragged me down onto this field, and we took it all in. Keep this short, because I don't really know if I'm going to be able to make it through this. To the staff who've dedicated their lives to the Oakland A's, especially those who aren't coming with us, I am forever grateful. I will never forget you. And to all of you, on behalf of my staff, myself, this team, all the past players and coaches, everyone who's worn the green and gold. There are no better fans than you guys. Thank you all for loving the game of baseball. Thank you for your lifelong support of the Oakland A's. And last, I want to thank you guys for coming out today to share this moment with the club that I'm so proud of. We've played our asses off this year. We still got three left, gentlemen. I think we all should pay homage to this amazing stadium that we've had the privilege and pleasure of enjoying for 57 years. And I ask you for one more time to start the greatest cheer in baseball. Let's go!
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially from a guy who's experienced a lot of different places in Major League Baseball. Boy, he sounded like a guy who's never left the city of Oakland.
Yeah. And that, I think, was a perfect tone that he struck.
Yep.
Because for him and for today, it was about the fans, and it was about a farewell for the fans and to the fans. And I love the fact that the A's have kept fighting, and they've been better in the second half than they were at the start of the year, where they didn't really have a lot going. And that's maybe what makes it even tougher, is if you were an A's fan who was still following this team, although you didn't want to go out and support John Fisher, it's tough because you look at the team now, and they've got four or five or six good young players that you'd be excited to go out there and support, and yet this team is leaving town.
Yeah, although, and I don't mean to take it in this direction, if they were staying, the way things have gone for the last handful of years, as soon as it got time to keep those guys and reward them for their efforts, they would have been sent to a different city. So
that's the way it's gone,
that's
yeah.
That's the way it's gone. Bob in Danville, thank you for calling Willard and Dibs. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I wanted to say grew up in the East Bay in San Lorenzo, a few miles from the Coliseum. I'm 61 years old. I think the first time I went to the Coliseum to see an A's game was in 71, 7-8 years old, going with my family, my dad, my mom, my brother, sitting in section 212 right on the first baseline. Monday night was half-price night, one of Finley's gimmicks that he would do back in the day. My dad, with a young family, we went to every Monday night game, half-price night. So my introduction to the A's was with three World Series teams as a kid, with all those great players of the 70s. During the same time, you had the Raiders playing. Five straight AFC championship games, some iconic games at the Coliseum, the Heidi game, the Sea of Hands. I had the opportunity to, when I was a senior in high school, get season tickets before they left to LA the first time, when they won the Super Bowl. So got to see Stabler come back to the Coliseum wearing a Houston Oiler jersey to play that first playoff game against the Raiders. And then, of course, the Warriors won their first championship. Dibs, I think you talked a few minutes ago about the identity of the East Bay, that working class, blue-collar image. you know, with the A's, the mustache gang, the long hair, the Raiders, the silver and black, bad boy image. It was a great time. If you were a kid into sports, there was no better place to be than the East Bay in the 70s, with all those iconic teams and those memories. And then later on with the A's and Billy Ball with Billy Martin, and the late 80s, early 90s with the Bash Brothers, and then the Big Three, the late 90s, the 2000s, the 20-game win streak. Just a lot of great memories. I know there's a lot of callers. Just want to say, you know, it's a sad day for someone that's been in the East Bay his entire life. To lose all three teams now four times, it's just sad. But I have 50-plus years of great memories with my family as a kid and friends as a kid, and then with my wife and kids of going to the Coliseum. The only thing I'm going to miss is I was really looking forward to taking my two-year-old grandson to an Oakland A's game, which I won't be able to do. So, again, guys, I appreciate you guys taking the call and giving us this time to just kind of talk about what's happening and the end of an era in Oakland.
Yeah. Bob, thanks for calling.
Well done,
appreciate
Bob. Well said.
You know what I haven't heard one person say all day? I haven't heard one person. I'm not saying that they're not thinking it or that they won't do it, but I've not heard one say it. No one has said, boy, this is sad, but I'll be in Sacramento next year.
Right, and it's I don't even know if today's the day to make that pivot. You get into December and January and February, and you realize, man, I miss baseball, and I love this team, and Mason Miller throwing 102, then maybe you think about Sacramento. I know what you're saying, but I don't expect people to be able to make that pivot on a day like today.
Because,
you know, what he said about the Raiders, and they left in 82, and even when they came back, it's like, oh, yeah, you came back, and what they did to the Coliseum when they came back, and when they came back, it still was Al Davis, and you kind of knew that he was looking to leave again by hook or by crook. But the A's, when they came here, they became the identity. And something about baseball, Mark, and this is why I like doing the show with you in the summer especially, because it's an everyday thing, and you love your team, the Giants, and every day it's like, who's pitching? It's baseball. Let's go out there and get this one today. And if they don't, well, tomorrow, who's pitching? Who are they facing? Let's go out there and get it. And so for the East Bay crowd especially, and he mentioned the affordability of it, and that's something that I latched onto as a parent in Oakland. It, like you were saying, it's a Thursday night in June, and I'm sick of these kids. And my friends, you know, Amy and Rich and Matt and Kathy and Hutch and Pam, it's like, the text thread starts. It's like, you know what? We're all equally sick of our kids. Let's go. Who are the A's playing? Don't care. Meet you in the parking lot at 5:45.
No, my daughter's doing this tomorrow.
Exactly.
She came to me just yesterday. She said, hey, me and some friends are gonna go to the Giants game on Friday night.
You said they're playing?
Great.
They're still playing?
Yes, and I had no idea that they were playing. What time does it start? And oh, by the way, how do you think you're getting there?
Ah, there's that.
But anyway, we'll get to that on tomorrow's show. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. You're all getting on, okay? You're all getting on. Steve, who was at the game today? Hey, Steve, how was it?
Hey, guys. It was, interestingly, I went by myself Tuesday night at 2 in the morning. I was literally thinking about the A's, and I bought a ticket online. I go there. I'm sitting next to another guy who went there by himself, a guy named Umar. The reason I became an A's fan, I'm 59, like your previous caller said, he had all those great points. I'm not even going to get into those, but he hit on every point there. So my parents came from another country. They were into soccer, right? I wasn't into soccer. I was into baseball, football, and basketball. And, of course, in 72, it was the A's. I wore glasses. It wasn't a good thing to wear glasses in the 70s, especially in the early 70s. You were four eyes, you were a dork, blah, 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 blah. But I had Reggie Jackson, and Reggie Jackson wore glasses, and he was a masher. And so I'm sitting next to a Gen Zer, Umar, and he's from Pakistan. And so we're talking about how he got into it. He's a Raider fan and an A's fan. He came from Sacramento to come to the game. And it was such a great conversation. I'm saying, we're sitting behind the plate, a little far back, but behind the plate. And I'm like, did you ever come to the stadium before Mount Davis was there? No, I was never there. This was one of the most beautiful stadiums in all of baseball. You had the hills in the background. It was, you see Bart coming by. It was just beautiful. And that was one of the worst things that ever happened was the Raiders' return, right? Because he ruined that stadium. You guys hit on so many things. I've been on hold for a while, and just everything that everybody's been saying is amazing. And Dibs, you talked about the peninsula and the wine sippers. When I was there in the 70s, those were you know, blue collar people, just like in the East Bay. They were contractors and plumbers and electricians, but they were all Niner fans and Giant fans. And I always wanted to be with a winner. And in the 70s, the winners were in Oakland. That was title town. And what was interesting is back when I was a kid, there wasn't ESPN. So it was literally the center of the sports world in Oakland. Okay, so when it was on NBC Nightly News and they did their sports thing, the center of New York went to Oakland, California. When I traveled around the country, people know Oakland. And why did they know Oakland for all these years? Because of the Raiders and the A's and these great teams that they've had, and the Warriors. And when I was a kid, Al Attles brought the team to San Bruno to go play in the center we had there at the basketball court. So Oakland to me, it represents not just my childhood. I was a little melancholy today, but I really wasn't sad. It was like the end of a life well lived. If that makes sense, if it does at all. And people there were not, they were a bit sad, a bit melancholy, but really what I felt was people were just talking to each other, sharing stories. That's all it was all day, is people just in line or sitting next to someone. Everybody was sharing stories, and that was really cool. And it was so great that they won, you know, and the way they won. And there were great highlights of it. But for me to be sitting next to a Gen Zer, and by the way, there was another gal next to me named Rebecca who went to Skyline High in Oakland, and I'd never met these people, but before the end of the game, I hugged them, we shook hands, I exchanged numbers with Umar, and I'm going to go to a Sacramento game. I'm not going to go to a lot. I'm going to go to one, to go see one with him, and that's it, right? And, you know, Oakland always will have a soft place in my heart just because of the sports teams, really. And I do think that is a major impact on the vibe of a town to a degree. And Dibs, I know you live there, and I haven't, so you have a better feel about what that town is than I do in that regard. But I've gone there many times for many reasons. It's unfortunate that they're not going to be a major league town anymore, because that's what they're represented by, really, to a lot of people around the country and the world. And what I hope one day is, and I'm going to end it here, I hope they knock the place down and they build like a sky dome where there's a great field and there's a mall inside there and there's shops and there's a hotel inside, just like in Europe, where you can look down at the field from your hotel room. If they do that, wow, that would start turning that city around. I really appreciate the Vine. Thank you guys both very much for this. Have a great day.
Steve, thanks.
Yeah, rack that guy.
Yeah, go ahead and rack that guy. And that's kind of what I was getting at, not to like belabor the point, but about the morale of the city. Like, I just think there's a different recognizability when you're a major league city. And I think the people within it feel that, even if they don't necessarily know that. I think you feel that. I think that's part of today. He also made me think of something else, and I haven't brought this up yet today, and this is actually a good thing. May not feel like a good thing all the time. I know there's been a lot of tears today. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of anger. But not all relocations are the same, and this one was very, very, like, in fact, painfully...
It's dirty.
Well, but it was painfully telegraphed, and therefore, I'm not saying this is perfect or great, but you did get today... And not every fan base gets that, because sometimes the owner up and does it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I get that.
I watched the San Diego Chargers end up in a soccer stadium, and they essentially gave their fans no warning. And so you did not have an opportunity, because as a lot of people are reporting to us today, that it was not an angry vibe inside the stadium.
Right.
And I think it's because of what, like you said, off the top of the show, which is that you're already past that. We've had so much time for the anger that today you're able to kind of circle back and just celebrate with your other people.
And for the most part, and I love the story he told about, you know, everybody telling stories to each other and you're exchanging numbers with somebody half your age who you just met. And I think a lot of it for me, having lived in Oakland, is, you know, the experience of Al Davis building Mount Davis, which happened before I lived in Oakland. But when I moved there and you started to get the sense of, you know, John Fisher and Lou Wolf wanted public funds to go toward a new stadium. And I was among many people who were saying, no, not again, because Al Davis bilked the people. He sold them a bill of goods. He desecrated the Coliseum with that abomination. And so Oakland residents didn't want to spend even a dime to help support a billionaire to get a new stadium. And so what he set about doing was what I call victim shaming, where he was pointing the finger, well, the Oakland people don't want to support me. And so that's why when you talk about the morale of the city, I kind of push back against it, because for me, living there, the morale of the city and the identity of the city goes far above anything that Al Davis, Mark Davis, John Fisher, or Lou Wolf could have ever possibly done. Oakland's got a pride that goes above and beyond its pro sports teams. Now, I know from the outside looking in, maybe nationally, you look at Oakland and you say, oh, poor Oakland, you're a second-rate city. You lost three teams. But inside the city limits of Oakland, I think most Oaklanders don't think that way. They think that their pride points are much greater than just pro sports.
I hope so. But it can only help, is what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I'm going based on what I hear. And if there's a feeling of loss today, That's a part of it. That's a part of it. I'm not saying that anybody is, like, I don't know, feeling bad about themselves or has this self-loathing for their city or anything like that. But sports is where we go when we need an escape. It's where we go when we need something that, like, tickles our imagination. It's where we go when, as he even just pointed out, you want a community. You're high-fiving the people next to you you don't even know. Next thing you know, you're getting phone numbers and setting dates in Sacramento next year. All of that, to me, that's attached to morale. So I can't really speak to it, to even what you're saying right now. I just think that sports teams, that's part of what their function is.
Agreed, but I also think, and I want to get back to the phones, you and I have plenty of time to talk throughout week after week after week, but what you've seen from the Oakland Roots, and they are selling out Laney College, and they're going to go to the Coliseum, and they're going to draw 10,000 or more there. The Oakland Ballers baseball team with a redone Raimondi Field. Oakland still is very proud of its sports, professional sports, maybe not major league sports, but for me, the identity of Oakland is more wrapped around those grassroots teams than it is around the Oakland Athletics.
Tristan in Berkeley is next up. Hey, Tristan, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. It's a tough day. I'm 56, so I was born when they came out here. I grew up watching the team. I got to see Ricky Henderson steal bases, Stuart B. Clemens, the Bash Brothers, the Big Three. Got to see Terrence Long not swing the bat, take a called third strike. That was fun. You played that drop from 2012. That was one of the most amazing seasons I've ever seen. I got a chance to work in the clubhouse, so I got to actually meet Ricky Henderson and Dwayne Murphy and Bill Cottle and lots of players. As an adult, cleaning up after pro athletes doesn't sound like fun, but as a 14-year-old, man, that was the top. So lots of really wonderful memories there. And I'd like to thank the game, because you guys gave the A's a chance to be on a real radio station. And that, getting a little verklempt here, and that should have been one of the things that helped save the team. And they blew that too. And it's like an old relative that's been hanging on that finally passes away. It's just really tough. I haven't really been into them for the past couple of years because they've been running so poorly, but seeing people steal dirt or take the dirt, somebody getting beat up for dirt, that's very Oakland. It's just hard today because it's just a big loss and there's no games to go to. And then I'm not going to go to Giants games. I'm not going to go to any baseball games. The team is dead. The league is dead to me. We're done. And there's a lot of people like me who were, you know, I know 56 isn't the demographic they want, but I know a lot of people that are my friends aren't watching the Giants or any baseball anymore.
I believe it.
It's a big loss.
No doubt. Tristan, thank you very much. And that is fundamental to the point that I'm making about not understanding why professional sports leagues operate the way they do in letting owners of the individual franchises all behave in different manners. Listen to what Tristan just said. This isn't about like, oh, I lost the A's. He said the game's dead. And a lot of people he knows say the game is dead. That's what I don't understand. That's why, like, sure, John Fisher, you're enemy number one. Want to get into a conversation about Oakland politics? I think we've been there. I get all the different aspects of this. But one thing that frustrates me in these stories is when the commissioners of the sport themselves sort of sit there repeatedly in front of microphones, shrugging their shoulders. Like, I don't know, what do you want me to do about it? Well, what do you want? What do you mean, what do you want to do about it? This is your league. And you are letting a major market get totally dragged, and it denigrates not just the team but the sport. And so, to me, there's got to be more. There's got to be more hands on that in an aware sort of a way. Awareness, not just finances, but overall branding and awareness.
I do think that there is awareness. I think these are smart people, but they look at it this way. If this constant uprooting of teams and the changing of teams and the diminishing fan base and the decline in the interest of the sport, if all those things are happening, how long will it take until it actually affects their bottom line? And if the answer is 20 to 30 years, then all these owners who are in their 50s and 60s, they don't really have that same love or the stewardship of the sport. I would say, and maybe this is my own cynical view of it, but I don't see a lot of pro sports owners looking at the long-term viability of a sport or a league at the expense of their short-term bottom line.
Yeah, but
that's what this is.
But at the expense of then their own kids. I mean, John Fisher, how did he get money? You're born into it.
Does he even have kids?
Yeah, that's whoever you want to gift this to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know many professional sports owners that look at this in a way where it's like, well, it's just going to last my lifetime and then I'm out. Like, this is supposed to be, we've watched the New York Giants are about to play football, the Mara family. This just gets handed down.
Yeah, sure, the York family and all the rest of it. I get it.
Right, so, like, I don't know, wouldn't you think about that? Wouldn't you think a little bit about the future of your business?
Not at the expense of your short-term bottom line. And I think we're giving John Fisher too much credit because he's a silver spooner who really never did anything on his own in his life. So he was born into it, like Bane. He just was born into being
born
a billionaire.
Born on third, thinks he had a triple, sure.
Exactly. And so I don't think that he necessarily has the wherewithal. Joe Lacob is the antithesis of that. Yep. A guy who was born into virtually nothing and fought and scratched and clawed and built this along with a number of other people. So he's going to look at it differently than a John Fisher.